You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Lou Need, your host, and today I have the honor of introducing Jamar James to the show. Jamar is known as the digital currency guy. He has impacted countless lives with his story and desire to change his life and escape his past limitations. Jamar grew up in the inner city of Oakland and will tell how he escaped the gang-ridden, drug-infested streets and became a successful entrepreneur by the age of 21. As an early adopter of cryptocurrency, he is at the forefront of utilizing this new money as a weapon against poverty. His message, to become financially self-sufficient in one's life, has touched and influenced audiences. His message has even inspired many to become the first in their families to invest and prosper to change their lives. Jamar, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm elated to be here, and I'm so excited about sharing some of the opportunities that we have right now in 2020.
Absolutely. I'm delighted to have you on board because I want to talk about all things cryptocurrency, how to monetize it in this new world, and how has families been using it to prosper. And of course, at the end of it, we'll talk about your robust morning routine. So yeah, let's get right to it. Entrepreneur at 21 years old, what did you start?
Growing up in the Bay Area, I always had influence of, I grew up in Oakland, but I went to school in San Francisco. So I would actually take the train across the bridge every morning. It's called the BART up in the Bay Area. And in the morning, I would see these guys, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning. They would all be wearing suits and have a laptop, cell phones. In groups, and what they were was going down to the financial district in San Francisco. They were all either in some type of finance or investments or in trading. Coming from the inner city, my family, my mom was a mail carrier for 35 years. My dad was a trucker, blue collar jobs. What I realized that when my parents woke up, they would be leaving and they would be, sick and tired of going into work. And they didn't have the same energy as these other guys had in the finances. And that always intrigued me as a young kid because, what I realized about the inner city is we are influenced by our environment. And when there's not, a lot of a variance, there was no one I can ask about the stock market. There was no one I can ask about, really technology. I come from a labor intensive family that, they just worked hard and, they built up and that was the way of life. You work hard and, you put your hours in and you get paid. And so, at 17, I had a real urge to get it, to see the world. And so I joined the Marine Corps I came up upon, different people from different backgrounds. And, 52% of Americans right now, they're investing in the stock markets or invested in options. They have some kind of investment vehicle. Normally in middle class, blue labor areas, we're just trying to survive from one check to the next. And, that is kind of the story from one generation to the next. What I've seen is, once I got outside the environment, there's opportunities that is, normally is limited to the environment you're in the finance. And so at 20 years old, I had got stationed in Southern California and I was around, guys that were buying real estate. And so I bought real estate while I was still in the military. And when I got out, it had appreciated almost, 200%, just in a short amount of time. I bought a first condo, for like $30,000 in Long Beach, and in about 12, 14 months, it was worth about $120,000.
Wow.
So that was my first, venture into entrepreneurship. And it's really, it happened. I always wanted to be a business owner, but you know, from my parents. At 16, I remember this story vividly. I asked my mom, I said, hey, I want to start a clothing store. This is a big one, Cross Colors. And, you know, a lot of the entrepreneurs you've seen that was in associated with hip hop, you know, they were building their own clothing brands that wanted to have a clothing store. And, you know, my mom, she told me, she's like, that's too much work and you know, ownership and management, you know, you can lose a lot of money. And so it was negative, you know, it was a negative aspect, you know, considering a 16-year-old, you know, she may have been trying to help me, but she really kind of like dimmed the light. You know, it's like, all right, well, you know what, maybe I can't do that because, you know, I've been told at 16 that, hey, it's too much work and you're going to lose a lot of money. Most businesses fail. So that is a story that we're told. And we hear that a lot in the news. 90% of the businesses fail in the first year, or, you know, you hear a lot more about the failures. What you don't hear is about how entrepreneurs, you know, when they follow their passion and they follow, you know, their calling, you know, you can get fired from a job the same way you can lose in business.
Right.
That's true. So, you're right. So, you know, that has been my goal, because when I bought my first, you know, condo and I realized like 12, 14 months later, I had made more than my mom had made, you know, in 1 year. I made it in, you know, 12, 14 months. Now I was, you know, half her age. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, that wasn't hard. I didn't work hard. I just took the opportunity and it appreciated. I bought in an area where, you know, Long Beach became popular because of the hip hop, and the properties by the beach started to go up. And it was just the right time at the right opportunity. And that had started my bug in entrepreneur, because then I realized that, hey, you know, I could buy real estate. You know, those limiting beliefs, once you get a little bit of confidence, they go away. And I realized that I didn't know anything about finances. So I joined I joined back then, it was called Prime America. And they sponsored me to get my Securities 3, 7, a few different licenses, and I just learned about finance. And in the back of my mind, I've always wanted to be a stockbroker or a trader, because I remember that image of those guys were happy, you know, normally done by work by 10 o'clock, you know, like what were they doing that had them, you know, high-fiving on the bar at 6 a.m. when my mom was driving hard.
Yeah.
So from that point, you know, I actually started just getting an education, and I realized the environment for entrepreneur, that is going to allow you to grow. You know, if you are around other entrepreneurs or around other guys that are investing, that allows you, you know, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, that allows you to grow. So what I realized, you know, at a young age is I got in the stock market, you know, after I bought the real estate, and I got a mentor, and my first transaction, it came when Amazon was about $4. And, you know, from that point, I got into the stock market, and I realized that, hey, you know, this is sort of similar to real estate. It just happens faster, you know, getting into investments. And most people are, you know, scared to invest, not because it's because of the unknown. They don't know enough information. And so one of my goals have always been is like, hey, when I made my first million, I want to show other people how to do it. And so through real estate, I was able to gain, you know, accumulate wealth. And through the stock market, I was able to accumulate, you know, wealth in the stock market. So when the opportunity came for crypto, you know, I got into crypto in 2016. And it was really, you know, taking advantages of opportunities, you know, is all about timing. And so I got into it. I learned as much as I could about it, but I knew that it was tradable. You know, it's a lot easier to trade cryptocurrency than it is to trade in a stock market, because you have less option and you can tell the volume. And so from there, it's like, you know, I actually, you know, bought into crypto. I actually, you know, learned as much as I could about it. And I really got into it for my kids. You know, I thought that, hey, you know what, I'll trade, you know, I can actually do trading. I can do real estate, but I want to know about cryptocurrency, because I thought it was the future. You know, me, I'm thinking that, you know, our kids are growing up with Cash App. They're growing up with Venmo, PayPal. They're growing up with virtual money. And so this cryptocurrency is another form of virtual money. And when I learned that, I was like, well, you know, growing up where I'm from, you work hard, but sometimes your parents, they pass away, or, you know, wealth is not really passed down. And for me, I was thinking of when I got into cryptocurrency, it's for my kids. It's like, hey, you know what? I can make money in real estate. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a IT business. I have a stock trading. But my kids, I can actually buy this now. And in 20 years or 10, you know, 20 years, 30 years from now, I can actually accumulate a lot and I can leave it for them. Because even if I don't believe in it at one point, you know, I was like, hey, maybe for my kids, this is something I can leave to them. So when I got into cryptocurrency, within a month or two, I doubled my money. And from there, it's like, well, you know what? If I'm spending money in the stock market and real estate, which is longer term investments, and I just did this for my kids in a month or two, then I started taking it serious. And I said, hey, there's actually, you know, whether it stays around, there's opportunity right now to make a lot of money in crypto. And once, you know, 2017, I did really well. And at that point, I says, it was an urge for me to actually give the light to other people. Like, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to share the information and the light that you have with others. And I realized that, you know, you can change generations by sharing the information, especially as an entrepreneur, because people respect success. And so if you have success, you know, I basically offered a course on Facebook, and I had like over the weekend, 100 people sign up for a course. And it was a free 7-day challenge, which I still have today. And that basically kind of spurred me in another direction that says, hey, you know what? Education peer to peer. What crypto stands for is really having an alternative to the status quo, having an alternative currency to the dollar, having an alternative currency to any currency controlled by a central government. So cryptocurrency really is an idea of you can actually have freedom. You know, you have ownership of your time, you have ownership of your resource. And so that is really the idea of cryptocurrency that really attracted me. It's the idea that, you know, our money, the virtual currency, isn't controlled by a central source. It's decentralized. So that means that really the people give it value. And as more people, you know, get into cryptocurrency or experience what it is, it makes it more valuable. It makes the entire network more valuable. And so what we've seen is cryptocurrency growth over the last 10 years. It originated in 2009. And, you know, it's right now, it's 11 years later. And more people are, it's still, it's such a young currency. The opportunity is only going to get greater. And so for entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of your success is one determined by the market and second determined by timing, you know, and that is, you know, that is something I've learned in real estate. I've learned in IT, you know, the time that you get into a market, one, if the market is growing and you see growth, and then the second is timing. If you take advantage of the time that you're able to get in and you focus, you have a lot of opportunities for success. Right now, the blockchain is the fastest growing freelance industry in the world. You know, we're seeing 95% of the banks adopt a blockchain. We're seeing cryptocurrencies grow. You know, they've been accepted by Wall Street. We're seeing, you know, the IRS is making guidelines for cryptocurrency. So it's not going away. And this is an opportunity for people that, you know, can actually take advantage of the early adoption of cryptocurrency. And this is something I'm really passionate about, is exposing, giving people exposure to a whole different alternative where they can be open to taking advantage of something that is not widely accepted right now or even known. And so really 5% of the population in America actually owns Bitcoin, when, you know, half the population has heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your story really brings it home, because you're talking about how hard work does not always equal to success. And yeah, it doesn't. It does not. Right. It's not equate. It's not a formula that says you work hard, you will be successful. You work hard. There's a way to work smarter, which you've learned at like 16 years old. You were already thinking about it, right? You're thinking about the clothing store, and then you started investing at 21. And we were taught to go to school and work hard. We were taught to go to school and get a 9-to-5. If you get a 9-to-5, you're successful. in the older generation, in our parents' eyes. But the reality is, that's not a safety net.
That's not. It's not. I mean, the majority, like the middle class pay more in taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically keep the economy running. So you can't have everyone as entrepreneurs. And I think that is the that's the light that people don't have. You know, that's one of the big reasons we don't have entrepreneur classes in junior high or high school. You know, it's not something that, you know, success is not a gift. It's a formula. And if you're not teaching that formula, you know, most people will not be aware of it unless they go seek it out.
Right.
And and that is something that still, even in college, you know, they have business classes, but it's business management. Mm-hmm. They want you to manage other people's business because they need business managers. Entrepreneurship, you know, you almost have to have a mentor, someone that's already doing it, to kind of give you the guidelines so you can learn from their experience, because the market is always changing. But there's, you know, something that the rich have that the poor people, you know, people that's barely making it don't have. They don't have the resources and the time to actually investigate into it because they're so busy
working,
right? just trying to survive.
Yep.
Right. And that's the same reason I was never exposed to the financial markets. Most people don't even realize that they're paying a monthly fee on their 401k, what they're invested in, you know, that they can move it over to a cash market account. You know, there's a lot of things that even today, you know, the average person doesn't know about their own finances. So finances technology is, you know, right for entrepreneurs because it's a underserved market. You know, most financial planners and financial analysts, they don't even know about cryptocurrency. And the reason they don't know about cryptocurrency is because the firms, you know, they get paid to manage your money. Cryptocurrency is all about you having ownership.
Mm.
So there's a conflict, you know, like, you know, the banks they don't want you having cryptocurrency because, you know, that is the idea that you can control your own assets, that you can become your own bank. So that's a direct competition with the banks.
How do you get that ownership? How do you trade cryptocurrency?
So it's a peer-to-peer currency. Mm-hmm. So normally, you know, how currencies work is that your government, wherever you're at, whether you're in Mexico, you're in Japan, China, each government has its own currency. And their currency is backed by the faith of that government. Whereas in crypto, it's created by people. And if you have if you download a wallet onto an electronic device, you know, I can send you funds directly. You can send me funds directly. You can transfer. So when you have a currency, you can go to any airport in the world. And normally there's a currency exchange store. They'll say, hey, if you have dollars and you have pesos, you know, from Mexico or a different currency, you give me your dollar and we'll give you these pesos. So when you enter this country, you can use our currency. Well, Bitcoin is like a world currency, but it's just virtual. So it's the same thing. You take your dollars, you exchange it for Bitcoin. They'll send the Bitcoin to your phone, to your electronic device, to your computer. And now you have a Bitcoin. And then that Bitcoin can be spent. You can send it to Visa. You can send it to a MasterCard. And it converts it over because it's no different than sending pesos to a Visa, right? They'll convert that over for you for a fee, of course. Mm-hmm. And then you can spend it anywhere Visa is used. So a lot of people don't know about different currencies because they're only in America and they've only used the dollar. And so this is where the education comes in, because if you went to Mexico and you had, you know, fortunately for us in America, the dollar is kind of accepted everywhere in the world. But if you, some places, they'll make you transfer that dollar into the local currency and you do it in exchange. It's the same thing with cryptocurrency. You go to any country in the world, you can go to an exchange, then they'll give you that country's currency. Mm-hmm. And so that is, so, you know, you having your currency on your mobile phone or your device, you can actually take it to any exchange or online exchange. You send them the Bitcoin through, you know, you just push send and it sends to another wallet. That's a Bitcoin wallet. And then they'll give you either that cash or that currency or transfer wires into your bank account. So it's not as complicated as, you know, the media makes it seem to be.
Right.
It's really simple.
So is the government then afraid of Bitcoin picking up momentum and how it affects them?
Yeah, so I don't think any government is afraid. I think they want to maintain control.
Mm-hmm.
So rich people, like people think that rich people who are the wealthy, like going after their wealth, like, oh, they want to keep us poor. It's like, no, they already have a ton of money. They don't want to keep you poor. They want you to have success. They just want to have control. They want to have control of you and your mind and what you do with your money, right? They don't want to stop you from getting the money. They want to be regulated. So that is a big thing that people miss out on, is that there's no one sitting there saying, hey, let's prevent these entrepreneurs from getting wealthy. It's like, let's maintain that we have control over guys with wealth and thinking free.
They want their hands in your pocket somewhere, somehow.
I think they want their hands in your mind. Right? Because, as an entrepreneur, we think about taxes. We think about the media, think about the market, if the economy is going up or down. And at the end of the day, it's like, those are things that we think about that really is that's someone else planting those messages in our mind.
Yeah, that's even more scary, because if you can control the mind, you can control the man.
Right. And so that is what's really threatening about cryptocurrency, is that for years they've told us that we have the dollar and, you know, that's the currency of the world. And then when people start accepting a different currency, they're like, well, hey, we didn't tell you to accept that. Why are you doing that on your own? Well, we have to get control of this cryptocurrency thing. Right.
Yeah.
And that is the real thing. They're not accepting it. It's on Wall Street now. They have Bitcoin futures, Bitcoin options. The banks are accepting it. There's trading platforms now. So it's all about regulation.
My local gas station accept Bitcoins.
Right. Because business owners, right? They're individuals to say, you know what? We'll accept the Bitcoin because it comes directly to us with no fees. You know, we can accept this for our product and it goes directly to us.
Hmm.
So for business owners and entrepreneurs, you'll see a lot of entrepreneurs globally, because now we have the whole entire world, you know, available to market to. You don't have to just market to your local area anymore. And so now if you accept Bitcoin, you know, they can send it directly to the business.
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, you know, maybe we stop going through Amazon and we go directly to the manufacturer. That's a big push right now for entrepreneurs. If any entrepreneurs out there right now, manufacturers and distributors, they're thinking about how do they go directly to the consumer. And so, you know, in the future, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see more peer-to-peer. I mean, all these platforms, Etsy, you know, Fiverr, that is offering, you know, services from one person to the next, and they're creating the technology. But at the end of the day, the person is doing a service. You look at Uber in the taxi industry. It's all about peer-to-peer.
Right.
You look at Disney, how they've cut out and taken their products off of Netflix. And it's like, you know, why we're on Netflix when we're Disney and people want our Disney movies, we can just sell them direct.
Right.
And so that is the model for the entrepreneur of the future, is direct. And cryptocurrency and the money, that has a big draw for entrepreneurs, realizing that, hey, the future is going direct. The currency, can that be direct as well? And yeah, it can.
Yeah, direct. I like that, because you'll notice there's a lot of freelancers, right? The economy's changing. There's freelancers, there's VAs, people are starting to tap into their own talent and gifts and creating their own businesses and finding the clients that they need directly to serve them. And then they just build their client, their business that way.
Right.
Stepping away off of Fiverr, stepping away from freelancer.com, you know, just independently.
Independently, because they realize that, hey, we can do this cheaper. We don't have to be with a big corporation. They don't have to pay for the office space. They can go direct. And now they can offer the services cheaper because, you know, instead of them paying a company, they can pay the individuals and get the same service.
So that's the future.
That's the future.
And that's where Bitcoin and cryptocurrency comes in to fit that model.
Right. Because when it comes down to it, a person says, hey, well, you know, if you're going to hire me directly, can you please send me Bitcoin instead? This way it goes directly to my wallet. It doesn't have to go through a wire, through a bank, through, you know, these other aspects. It can come to me directly. And then I'll put it in the bank if I want to, or I'll, you know, transfer it.
Because you mentioned earlier the generation that your kids, you know, they're in the era of Venmo and Cash App. It's a virtual money. So Bitcoin fits into that, but for more a bigger scale, right, of trading, of actually business growth. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So 100%. And even for entrepreneurs, you know, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs that, you know, they have cash flow coming in and they want to invest it. And it's like, you know, they put it in the bank, they may get 1%, you know, a year. They invest it themselves and learn how, they can get 2-3% a day. So, you know, they have an opportunity to make money off their money. And instead of investing in a lot of employees, you also can take the money that you have and treat your money as employees. Your money should be working for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that's the thing that the rich know that the poor don't recognize. You know, my mom, she worked for a job for 36 years and had a 401k and invested every paycheck money went into into her savings account. She had no clue what was in there and how she just knows she's contributing and someone else is taking their future and basically managing her future for her.
Right. And I'm sure no one told her the red flags. No one told her the downfalls to doing that. You just said invest it. It's going to grow. It'll help you when you're 65, 60 years old, you'll have this amount to live off for right. How long. So they just told her those benefits. So I'm curious with cryptocurrency, what are some red flags or warning would you give to new investors?
New investors is, for one, get involved in the community because this is a new market and it's constantly new regulations, new guidelines, and you can't possibly keep up with it by yourself. So your community, it's a community peer-to-peer transaction. And so you want to be in a community. Secondly, cryptocurrency is all about ownership. So you don't want to give your ownership away. You don't want to give your crypto to someone else. It's like, imagine giving your bank account to a random stranger. You don't want to do that. So cryptocurrency, a red flag is if someone says, hey, send me your crypto, or send me your private keys, or send me your password, like that is a red flag because everyone in the cryptocurrency community is about ownership. It's about you becoming your own bank, and you wouldn't give a person the keys to your bank, the keys to the vault, and say, hey, I trust you with it. So that is a big red flag is, anyone that's out there, teaching cryptocurrency, it's about empowering people to do it on their own. And that is a scary thing for individuals. They've never been given that power to do it on their own. They've always been told, hey, well, go, it's like, why don't you do your taxes? Because we have H&R Block and everyone else will do it for you. It's an industry. But if you can do it yourself and you took the time to learn it, you would never have to pay someone else to do it for you again. If you took the time to learn about your finances, you would never have to pay someone to do it for you. It's the same thing. Like everyone doesn't want to be a lawyer. So you have lawyers out there that represent people because it's a big industry. Well, what's more important than your financial future? What's more important than managing your money? those are the hours you sacrifice every day to accumulate wealth and accumulate resources to take care of your family. Why would you possibly give that responsibility to someone else? Mm-hmm.
And that's where the mentorship comes in and the community comes in, right? So you can learn as a group so that you can attain that ownership. You don't want to pass it on for somebody to manage for you.
Right. Because the thing about, there's so much information out there, right? We can have 1,000 books. You have YouTube. I call it Google University. You can Google anything now. But what you don't have is the mentorship and experience for someone to, give you feedback. Tell you like, hey, you know what? This time of year, there's a lot of hackers that come out, make sure your account is secure during Christmas time, just to have a sounding board. And when you're, beginning learning how to trade, what is the best practices? That's what you get when you don't teach yourself. You get the experience if someone else has already been down the same road and your learning curve is expedited.
Yeah, I completely believe in that. Success leaves clues. Success leaves a trail. Learn from those that come before you. Get into a mastermind. It's powerful. And so I'm glad you brought that up. So with crypto, it's been around for about 10 years, right? A little over 10 years now. And the goal is to become your own bank. That takes some time and we're 10 years, a decade into it. How long do you, as an expert, right, have been in it for so long? How long do you foresee a mass adoption will take?
I think we're going to have a digital dollar, and that may be 30 years from now, right? 2050 is probably the year where we'll have. We had those conversations in our masterminds, like how long do we think the dollar is going to be around? And really, everything right now is electronic. So your tax return is electronic. People that work in fast food industries, they get a debit card. The money is just loaded onto the card. Mass adoption is in progress right now. So in the next 3 years, I think, cryptocurrency will be fully regulated. It'll be kind of controlled by the different entities out there. There'll be, in the next 36 months, we will have regulation and mass adoption will begin. But something even bigger than that is, in 30 years, all these kids that are under 10 right now, they're all aware of all of, you know, they don't deal in cash. You look at a 10-year-old, unless they're growing up in a society where, you know, they say, hey, put it in, they don't even know what a bank is with cash. They look at your debit cards and your mobile phone as, well, just pay it with your phone. Like, that's what little kids will say. Mm-hmm. Well, just pay it with your phone. Yep. And so, you know, these are the kids that are growing up. So you think in 30 years, when they're 40 and they're 50, do you think, you know, they've went through their entire life paying it with their phone, banking with their, with, you know, paying direct, you know, they're going to, that is when you'll see even a dollar loses, you know, the dollar will lose power, and cash may be just some old currencies like coins. You know, how many coins do you have in pennies that you save? Most people now don't even want coins. They'll be like, oh, just keep the change. Mm-hmm. Because they're used to doing the paper and dealing with debit, you know, with debit cards. You know, cash is a rare commodity right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're already transitioning. People don't realize that we're already in a cashless society, and it's just becoming more affluent with the youth that are coming up.
And you tie that in with your kids, right? Because you said you started, and you know, it's going to, in 20, 30 years, it's going to be the thing, because you saw the future. You're seeing the future.
Right.
How is that? How can cryptocurrency help families with their finances to start taking ownership, to gain that freedom? Because we're not doing the 9-to-5 anymore. That's the old way of operating.
Right. Right. So, you know, imagine someone paying you, and they're paying you half in fiat dollars and half in cryptocurrency. You know, that cryptocurrency, the Bitcoin is actually growing when your dollar is actually staying the same. So in 10 years, how much will Bitcoin be worth compared to how much the dollar? Mm. So saving, you know, starting to receive funds in cryptocurrency, it's a benefit. And that's one that, even if you don't want to trade it, you can actually lend your cryptocurrency to an exchange, and they'll pay you interest similar to what a bank does, but they pay it monthly, they pay it weekly. And so you can actually start compounding your funds by actually owning cryptocurrency, which, you know, is being loaned out to other guys that are trading. You know, there's a ton of different ways to benefit from a person getting into cryptocurrency. I mean, the way the tax code is made, the way that, you know, you can hold an investment for long term, you know, there is a abundance of ways to, you know, benefit from cryptocurrency. And one is just a long-term growth. Once you realize that we're in a cashless society, once you're aware that the future is digital, you know, digital currency, virtual currency, you know, that is going to give you more confidence in looking at it as a long-time store of value as well.
Yeah. I'm curious. This is all great stuff. I'm like fascinated right now. thank you for being candid and sharing. I know, Jamar, you've been doing this for about, what, 3-4 years with crypto. Right. Be candid with us. How much money have you made trading cryptocurrency?
I haven't actually. I live in Newport Beach, and I like to tell people your zip code says a lot about where you know, how much you made. I haven't done anything besides crypto in the last 4 years.
Wow.
So, you know, I like to say I average. I don't know if IRS regulators listen to your channel, but you know, I like to say that I've been able to take care of my family. My wife, if never, she doesn't work. My two kids are well, you know, pretty well, and we're kind of free. Mm-hmm. We are free to move around.
Now, the IT business that you own, is that around cryptocurrency? Do you have a technology set up to help people to impact people's lives, to teach them about cryptocurrency?
Yeah, so I've stayed involved in technology. I mean, I started off as, when I went to college, you know, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was in the Marine Corps. I was in college for computer science. And, you know, I was buying real estate at the same time, but I was also going to school to become a developer, going to college. And I was buying property in Long Beach, the same place that I went to college. During that time, I was able to get into tech, you know, buy and sell web design company. And I got into marketing automation, you know, building CRM systems. My business, I still have an IT company that is a business automation. Most of the people that come into my crypto education, they're business owners. And one of the things that business owners want is they want to get their time back and they want more money. And so for me, you know, the platform that I have for business automation is really to take a business owner and reduce the amount of time they spend doing marketing and sales. So it's a platform that we've built. Also have an automated trader that I've built that actually help traders manage their account, manage their own funds that they're trading. And so the whole thing for entrepreneurship is to have passive income. You know, entrepreneurs, you don't want to be in your business 20 hours a day. You want to be, you know, running a business where it can operate without you and you set up systems. So for trading, there's a system for business and marketing automation. You know, the follow-up, if you run a business, your business really, your success depends on your follow-up. So the success of basically being able to market, email, text message, you know, call a person without actually having to spend your time doing it. That is the platform that I have with, I call it DCG, stands for Digital Currency Guy, stands for Digital Currency Growth, our Digital Customer Growth. And it's my entire coaching program that includes business coaching, cryptocurrency trading, and the idea that, hey, you want to get free, you want to save your time. So, you know, most people don't, you know, of course you want money, but you want money so you can be free. And that's a balance that entrepreneurs have a hard time dealing because they take care of their baby so much, their business, that they never really get free from it. And now they're kind of connected to their business, where it's like, if you get into cryptocurrency, it's about freedom. If you own your own resources, now you got a little bit of more freedom. Now, if you own your time and your resources, now you can say that, hey, you know what? I'm really a big proponent of freedom. I own my time and I own my money.
Yeah, that is the dream right there.
So, you know, that is the goal, is to not wait until you're 50 to retire, to live, you know, to become an entrepreneur, to get into business where you can have a sense of, I'm doing what I love, I'm getting paid for it, and I'm not spending a ton of time doing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jamar, I know you were in the Marines, and the Marines are very habitual. There's habits in place to help you be successful throughout the day. Let's get into your morning habits, your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Right. So every morning, every night, you know, it starts at night, right? Your morning starts the night before. And so the night before, I make sure that, you know, I visualize and I meditate before I go to sleep. And then I wake up at a certain time, 5:30 in the morning. A lot of guys wake up earlier, but sleep is important. And so, you know, if I try to get at least 5.5-6 hours of sleep every night. And when I wake up, you know, the first thing you do is like, you know, I never try to just sit later, you know, within 5 minutes, I'm trying to be in a cold shower because, you know, and it's something about a cold shower that basically wakes up your system, but it's also about dealing with the uncomfortable. Like nobody looks forward to being uncomfortable every day. And as an entrepreneur, you know, it's like, well, it's going to be times where we have to do uncomfortable things and we're not going to be in our comfort zone. And so you never want to get comfortable being comfortable, you know, if you can deal with the uncomfort. And so that's really my way of telling my mind that, or telling my body that the mind is in control.
Yeah.
So hopping in the shower right away within 5 minutes, because there's a 5-second rule. You know, if you allow yourself 5 seconds to think, you'll talk yourself out of doing things uncomfortable. And so, you know, my thing is to right away in the morning to get the morning started. And then from there, I go into affirmations. I go into mindfulness. Like a lot of times throughout the day for entrepreneurs, they don't have 5 or 10 minutes just to sit down and just think, you know, like think how their day is going to be, visualize what they want. So for my traders and for my business owners, it's like we have a business plan. We have a trading plan. We have a day plan. And so that is part of the Marines that maybe, you know, some people don't realize is that, you know, most successful people plan out what they want. They visualize their goals. They visualize their plan. They write their plan down. And then, you know, that things happen where you won't be able to stick to a plan, but at least you have a baseline to start from now.
Right. And it directs you.
It directs you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is part of the morning is, you know, to, hey, how's your day going to go? And what plans do you have for today? And so a lot of people, they go through the day as an entrepreneur and they just jump around emails, text messages, whatever. They don't really have a plan and structure. And then they wonder why they're working 20 hours a day, you know? And so getting that structure in place, part of my coaching program is whether, no matter if you're a trader or you're in business, you know, you have to start your day off with a plan. And I help guys develop that plan, because if you don't have time management, you're really not going to have a business. Like, how do you manage everything you have to do in your business if you can't even manage your time? And at first identification, if you can manage your time, is can you manage your morning? All right. Can you manage your morning?
I concur. Absolutely. Because if you manage your morning, you will manage the rest of the day. It will improve the quality of the day. It
improves the quality of your day.
Tremendously. I like your morning routine. The cold shower part, you really got me with that one, because I'm a believer of it. And I'm writing my next book is going to be on the benefits of taking a cold shower, because it's not a new fad. It's been going on for centuries. And even with athletes, the buckets that they get in, it's good for recovery and muscle recovery, but there's a whole slew of other benefits that we're not aware of, like easing depression, relaxation, blood circulation. And for you, I have it because I'm developing an app, and part of it is take a cold shower. At least make the last 60 seconds cold shower. You know, because then you, like you put it, you're shocking the body, you're waking up. There's this sense of wakefulness that takes place. It makes you more alert. But I love your twist on it. Your twist on it is affirming the body that the mind is in charge, but also to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Comfortable, right. And then you realize that when you take those cold showers, the first 2 or 3 minutes is super cold and you're uncomfortable, then your body adjusts to it.
Yeah.
And your body says, you know what, it's not that bad.
Right. And you come out feeling so crisp. But while you're in there, guess what happens when the cold shower hits your body? You start breathing harder. You start breathing faster. And that's what Tony Robbins does to prime his day. He has this breathing technique that he does as he plunges in like ice cold water every morning.
Right. I've seen him. I've watched him on YouTube and the breathing. Is that something that people don't realize as well, is that the breathing is important as well?
Yeah.
And like just taking a breath, right? The mindfulness, the breathing, mm-hmm. you know, those are exercises you can add to your morning.
Mm-hmm. This is all crucial, because your diaphragm, you're opening up, you're bringing oxygen to the brain, and it helps you relax, and then clarity kicks in.
Right.
Go ahead.
No. I say that's awesome. And that is like, where else do you have that community where you can experience those different things with, you know? And that is the environment that I try to create, mm-hmm. you know, because most people, it's rare that we can have this conversation, you and I.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody talks about their morning routine. It's a secret. It's just like, you're getting personal now. You want to come in my bedroom and you want to see what I do in my bathroom? Not allowed. But that's why I love this show. That's why I love the topic, and the guests like yourself make this show what it is, because it gets so interesting. You think I'd get tired of hearing about morning routines. It drives me.
It drives you, right?
Something new and in a new perspective to it, because you are successful for a reason. You didn't just wake up and you stumbled upon success, Jamar. And that's what the beauty of this show is. It's what letting everyone know, like, success leaves clues. There's principle. As you said, there's a formula to success, right? And they're not teaching that at school. We're not learning it at home either. And so that's okay. Right. Don't feel bad. There's a platform for you to learn it. There is your group, Jamar. There's getting in contact with you where they can learn it. There's getting on this podcast where they can learn it. Connecting with me, they can learn it. We're teaching what we've learned along the way.
Right. And that is the 100%.
Yeah. So tell us, how can we connect with you? How can our listeners find you?
So listeners can find me. You can go to jamarjames.io. That is my calendar. You can also Google me, Jamar James. I'm on Facebook. And my website is digitalcurrencyguy.com. Digitalcurrencyguy.tv. If you type in Digital Currency Guy anywhere on Google, you will find me. So jamarjames.io is a way to schedule a call with me. And Facebook, I have a Digital Currency Guy group. I'm on there at Jamar James. And just search Jamar James crypto, and I'll come up on the internet.
Fantastic. Just a brief recap, Jamar, for the listeners. You said success is determined by the market and the timing. And that is crucial because we're talking about an alternative currency here. And the timing is now. And you forecast what it's going to be like in 2050 and in 30 years, what our kids will, we'll be using digital currency versus the dollar. And so I think it's crucial that we had you come on to share that insight with us, because we're not a lot of people are talking about it. Because talking about money is just a hush hush, right? It's just not, people are not comfortable on that topic, period.
Right, right. And not comfortable, and you know, they don't have a lot of people to talk about it because that's not something that's promoted.
Mm-hmm. And so you have set up that platform for people to go to and talk, and I'll put that information on the links below. But I love the notion of ownership. Not giving away. You want to become your own bank, and the time is now to jump on board.
Time is now, definitely. I mean, there's never a bad time for freedom.
Well put. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoy this conversation.
Okay, yeah, thank you for having me, and I definitely appreciate it. I look forward to sharing and building with you as well.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.